Is that all? Is this on, Steve? Okay. If you would please take your Bibles and open with me this morning to John chapter 16. We will read together and study verses 14 through 15. That's John chapter 16. We will read and study verses 14 and 15. This is God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. More precious than gold, even much fine gold, is the law of the Lord, and sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Will you pray with me? O Lord, our God, most merciful Spirit, as we come before your word this morning and hear the words of Jesus, God the Son, as he describes God the Holy Spirit. O Lord, who is equal to the task of understanding these things? O Lord, who is capable apart from your help? And so, Lord, as we come to study your word, I pray that, Lord, you would rule over us and in us, that, Lord, scales would fall from eyes, that hearts would be made tender and living, that, Lord, deaf ears would hear the glories of Jesus Christ the Son, and that, Lord, we would receive the ministry of our Helper, the Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Nicene Creed says this: I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. You see, the church has for centuries concerned themselves with who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for the people of God. And this has been a question that has not only permeated the ancient church, but even today in churches, even presently, and even this morning, is one that hangs heavy over the heads of believers. The desire to know God the Holy Spirit and to discern his ministry. What is spiritual and what is not? What are the things that are from God and what are the things that are simply worldly and vain forgeries? This is a question that every Christian, I believe, at some level has the question of. And I want to tell you that this is a question that the world themselves struggle with. A number of years ago, I was a missionary to the country of Hungary. And one morning, I found myself on a bus traveling out of town to another so that I could preach and lead worship for the sake of a church of Roma people. There was a young girl sitting next to me, and she saw my Bible. I've always liked large Bibles. They're heavy, but they're good for preachers because you have something to hang on to. She asked me, and she said, "What's the book that you have? I like to read." And I told her, "It's the Bible." And she looked at me, and she smiled, and I said, "Do you own a Bible?" And she said, "No." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "No, but I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual." You see, that is touching at the very heart of the confusion that the whole world has today. What is spiritual? How do I discern the ministry of the Holy Spirit? How do I know this is from God or from the world, that this is from God or from charlatans? How do I, as a Christian, understand and discern the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me? And so this morning, friends, I invite you to study with me Jesus' explanation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to His disciples. In John chapter 16, we are invited into the inner sanctum of His ministry to His disciples. This is the last night of the life of our Lord. The very next day, He would be persecuted, beaten, nailed to a cross, and put to death before a wicked and watching world for the salvation of sinners. But here, He knew the question, and He knew the struggle that people would have in discerning the ministry of the invisible and immortal God, who has power and is in all places at all times and is active in the souls of the people of God for their security, their sanctification, and their procession into glory. And Jesus spoke these words to give them absolute clarity as to how may I know that this indeed is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you're a note taker this morning, I have 2 points. 2 points. They are these. The first, the hallmark of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That will be in the first section of verse 14. The second point is the blessings of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That will be the second portion of verse 14, and then the whole of verse 15. A hallmark is a mark that signifies the standard quality or purity of an item. It distinguishes forgeries from the genuine, quality from refuse, and it inspires faith in the purchaser or the owner of an item. It is intended for you and I to see and to know we've got the real thing. One of the few things that I own in life that has a hallmark on it is my wedding band. You see, there is just these handful of small marks, almost so much so that I would have to use a magnifying glass to see them. And they're hidden away. You couldn't see them if you were to look at my hand. They're on the inside of the ring and they press up against my finger. But for me, I know they're there. I know that the ring has a quality. I know that it's real and of the sort that would be a good symbol of the marriage that I have with my wife, of the everlasting covenant and vows that we've made and that the Lord superintends. And likewise, in verse 14, Jesus gives the hallmark of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a mark that we may know for sure that the ministry that is spiritual is truly spiritual, that it is from Jesus Christ and from the Holy Spirit. Turn and look again at verse 14 with me, the first few words. In describing His ministry, Jesus says this: He will glorify Me. He will glorify Me. And this is so important for the Christian to understand, that the hallmark of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the glory of Jesus Christ, God the Son, put on broad display that believers would see and know and believe in Him and have life everlasting. Why is this important? It's important because you and I, on a daily basis, we meet spiritual people that are not Christians. They claim to be in some way spiritual, but they have no knowledge of Christ. They've not beheld Him in His glory. And I would argue with them that truly they are an unspiritual people, because they don't know the only Spirit that proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have people that may describe their sense of spirituality They may be very sincere, very well-meaning, and they speak about visions that they receive from God, or leadings, or even a word in a faint whisper. In some crisis of life, they claim to have had some dispensation of a unique access to God that answered and spoke specifically in to a single time and a single issue. A few examples that I've heard in pastoral ministry is that God told me it's okay to quit this job and to pursue something else. I've got peace about this. I can move on and find myself another sort of field for my labor. Or maybe some sort of large life change. I just feel very good about this, that, or the other. About picking up and moving. About maybe rupturing this relationship or that relationship. The Lord has told me it's okay. The Lord has told me to do it. And so I'm going to do it. Or maybe another situation. You run into someone, and beaming from ear to ear, they tell you, the Lord has told me He's going to bless me. And you say, well, He's told me that too. I've read the Bible. He's told me He'll bless me with Jesus. But the blessing that they then tell you is of a worldly wealth and a prosperity that has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven, but everything to do with the kingdom of flesh and of this world. The Lord has told me in a prophecy that I'll have a big home or that we'll win the lottery. He's told me I'll have success in work, in life, or for ministers, in ministry. He's told me this, that, or the other, and I feel good about it, and I can do this or that, and my life will run after this sense of prophecy. Or possibly you've heard someone, the Lord gave me a dream, and He came to me, and I saw Jesus, and He told me what to do about, well, my disobedient child. He knows all the issues. He gave me these distinguishable directives. I want to help you understand what is at the heart of a forgery in regards to a spiritual ministry. In almost every situation, the claims of individual revelation or a word or a dream or a prophecy or whatever it is, just a deep emotional leading. There is something to do with you or with them or with their life or what they're going through. It seems as if in every situation, the subject of the word of the Holy Spirit is simply the person and not the person of Jesus Christ. For the wife or for the husband, overwhelmed with a marriage or just simply desiring to be freed from it, the Lord's told me it's okay to leave him or her, to make this break and to pursue my best life now. They claim that the Holy Spirit's given them a license to sin. Or possibly some sort of other worldly prosperity. But the problem with it is that it all is about me. Why would I want another house but for my benefit, my comfort, my own assurance, and my own enjoyment? Me, 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 me. The false spirituality of the world will claim that my God is most concerned with my greatest enjoyment now in this world, according to worldly and fleshly things. But what does Jesus say about the true and spiritual ministry of God the Holy Spirit? He says this: He will glorify me. That's what Jesus says. The character of His ministry will be such that Jesus Christ will be glorified. And you may say to yourself, well, Pastor, I don't fully understand what it means to glorify something. I get the general sense and I get the gist of it. I understand it at least in part, but let me help you understand it. The word in the original language is doxazo. You and I just sang a song that has its own title coming from this ancient word, the doxology. See, the doxology tells about Jesus Christ and about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And it is, as it were, a word picture of the greatness of the triune God of heaven. Whenever Jesus begins to speak about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how we will know it, it will be that he glorifies Jesus, or to put it into short terms, he will put Jesus on magnificent display to the hearts of believers. The subject of true and spiritual ministry is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's not my prosperity, but his holiness. It's not my ambition, but his plan. It is not my contrived emotionalism, but his heart of love for me. What does the ministry of the Holy Spirit look like to you and I, friends, as he glorifies God the Son? It's this, that in 66 books, as he spoke by the prophets, again and again and again in every ancient age, Jesus Christ is known. He's known in the Old Testament in the magnificence of the Lord's covering the nakedness of Adam and Eve in the garden. He's known in the form of the ark as the salvation was given to Noah and his family, that in the bowels therein they would be redeemed from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ is known and glorified in the person of David, the king seated upon the throne to rule over the people of God, even a mere shadow of the greatness of the king that would come. Jesus Christ is known by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving the prophetic word concerning the coming Messiah, the one who would take the law of God and chisel it upon the hearts of believers. An indelible mark of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in our context, friends, as New Testament Christians, the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he glorifies the Son is happening this morning. As we open the Word of God and our eyes are given vision for the sake of understanding the whole of the gospel, to simply understand the words that I'm about to say to you. Jesus Christ hung on a cross. God in flesh lived among us under the law according to all of its commands, yet sinless. The wrath of God rained down upon him with a righteous fury. That wrath from God was against me and against you if you're his. He hung and took my penalty and your penalty. His sufferings and cry of pain were the sufferings and the cries that you and I deserved. His blood was poured out that your blood would remain. Jesus Christ was he who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit cast Jesus Christ in clear relief that the believer might know and behold and understand what the cross is and who Christ is and the weight of his blood and his righteousness that atones for our sins as he was put to death in our place. True spiritual ministry holds Jesus before the hearts of believers. Amen. It is Jesus that the Holy Spirit would have you know. It is as if he's a stage director with a spotlight, and it's about Jesus. He has one goal in his ministry, and that is that we would worship the Son as he, the third person of the Trinity, adores and worships the eternal Son of God, transcendent and resplendent in his glory. There is no true spirituality or spiritual ministry that concerns itself with you, save that you know and receive Jesus Christ and all of his benefits. The ministry and the hallmark of the Holy Spirit is that he shows you Jesus. Let me say it again, that he shows you Jesus. and leads you to follow Him in new obedience. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me plead with you, dear Christians, to hear the Apostle Paul in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, he says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Christians, test the spirits. Test the books you read. Test the sermons you listen to. Test your own sincerity and your own spirituality. And ask the great and eternal question, where's my Lord in this? Do I see Him more beautifully and more purely? Do I know Him more because of it? Is He sanctifying these sufferings to me that I would see Him and know Him and not worship the comfort of the flesh? Is my God teaching me that the funds that are in my hand for the upkeep of my body on this world, that these are things that He's given me that I might process into the heavenly kingdom? Are the things of my soul and the things of my mind, the things that my eyes behold and my ears hear, are they Jesus Christ and Him alone? If they're from the Spirit, they will be. They will be only and exclusively of Jesus Christ, God the Son. He never steals attention. He has no design on a whispered and spiritual word in the prayer closet, unless it be from the Holy Scriptures that say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. Secondly, I want to help you to discern the blessings of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, Jesus continues to describe this ministry. He says, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. He goes on in verse 15. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus is just describing what the ministry of the Holy Spirit will be. What's He going to do? He's going to show you Jesus. And then He's going to take what is Christ and He's going to give it to you. He's the heavenly gift giver. But I want you to consider the Holy Spirit under a unique title this morning. I want you to think of Him as the minister of love, righteousness, and grace. He is the minister of love, righteousness, and grace. You see, as Jesus is describing the taking of what belongs to Christ and the giving of it from the Holy Spirit to believers, He is specifically talking about what He Himself enjoys from the Father. This passage isn't simply talking about the fruits of the Spirit. This isn't simply talking about spiritual gifting or about if you are good at welcoming people at the door or a good brother in regards to teaching or reproof, or a good and a faithful woman of the church that serves and has the gift of service, or a pastor or minister that preaches and teaches and prays. This has to do with taking of the benefits of Christ and giving it to believers. So let me express this in a more full way, if the Lord would give me aid. As Christ says the Holy Spirit takes what is His and gives unto believers, He qualifies it. He says the things that are being given from the Holy Spirit to believers are the things that reside in God and with God. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus says. All that He has, the whole of His magnificence, all of His resplendent glory, all of his heavenly riches, all of his righteousness, all of his obedience, all of his love and justice and compassion, all of his heart, all of him is mine. And the Holy Spirit takes it and gives it to the believer that they may enjoy the magnificence of who Christ is and the gifts of God the Father. A minister of love, a minister of holiness, and a minister of grace. Do you know the first thing that I believe we can say about the relationship of the Son to the Father? It's that the Father loves the Son. Make no mistake, when John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is describing the eternal relationship of the persons of the Godhead in an eternal unity and an outpouring of love to one another forever and ever and ever and ever. At the beginning of the high priestly prayer, Jesus cast his eyes to heaven. He prays to the Father, "Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world began." Do you understand that those are simply the words of a son who longs for the embrace of his father? The glory that I had with you before the world began. When Christ was in heaven before he took on flesh, and as Christ is now in heaven, he enjoys a relationship of pure, holy, divine love that has never had a beginning and will never have an end. But for our Lord, as he was on the earth, there was a moment splayed upon the cross, "Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalm 22, again ringing from the lips of the high priest. That in a moment, the thing that he endured the most was the forsakenness of the Father, distance from his love and an outpouring of wrath. But what Jesus describes here is what the Apostle Paul describes in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 4 through 7. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to unite the heart of God to the heart of his people and to pour out an ever-present, over and abundant love from heaven that's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we retain the love that a father has for a child. The Holy Spirit's a minister of love. And if you've received anything from him, it will never, ever fail to meet a magnificent test of the fatherly love of God for your soul. He is a minister of holiness. And the Holy Spirit takes to the work of pouring out what is Christ. Christ is, as it were, a treasure store of righteousness. It's not in the saints. It's not in Mary. It's not in Rome or in any priest or bishop or anything of the false and papist church. It is not as any works that you and I can do or that we presently possess. It is not in the precious attribute of a child in all of their magnificent innocence. But it is simply that if you're a Christian, you receive the obedience of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was obedient according to the law, in that every single thing that the Lord commanded, he did it entirely, according to its letter and according to the pleasure of the heart of God. He pleased God, to put it in no other term. He pleased Him according to the things of holiness. He did what the Lord loved. Whenever Jesus lived under the law, not only did He do all that the Lord commanded, but He never did a single thing that would dishonor God. And for you and I, the things that we receive of Him are His obedience and His holiness, His righteousness accounted to your account. That when you and I stand before the Lord of glory on that precious day, the Lord will look upon us and see the vestments of the obedience of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives that to you and I, friends. Why is that precious, Christian? It's because I'm a sinner and you are. Did you sin this morning driving here or riding? Yesterday? Were you angry with a person at work or with a child or a spouse? Have you sinned in this past week, things that are in your mind and on your heart, you know it happened? And in the midst of that sin, do you behold the righteousness of God that punishes sin? My sin makes me terrified of God. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit tells me this: the righteousness of Christ is yours. God is satisfied in His Son, not in you. He is pleased to receive you because He has received Him in all of His righteousness. Your sin has been overwhelmed by the immeasurable righteousness of God the Son. Christ was also obedient in paying the great debt that you and I owe. Because in the midst of sin, we commit holy and eternal crime. Do you understand that? We have a just God, and whenever we sin, we transgress Him. And we do an act that deserves punishment. And our God's heart does not turn away from that sin. He will carry out a sentence. That sentence is absolute. He's a just judge. Let me put this into a category for you to help you understand this. You're a mother or father, a sister or brother, and your family member is murdered in cold blood by a wicked person. Very wicked. They murdered more than just one. And this time the police officers arrested him. They have him in custody. And he's on trial. And here you are. And you're sitting there mourning over the loss of your loved one, desiring justice. My son, my daughter, their blood is on the ground because of this person. Justice needs to be paid. Well, what if that judge looked down to you and just said simply this: sorry that your son or daughter died, but I'm just going to look the other way on this one. He can go free. Doesn't matter that he's killed 15, 20, 30. You would cry out for justice. It's not right, Lord. It's not right. What is going on in life? It's unjust what he's done. He'll hurt other people. I lost my son. I lost my daughter, my wife. Where's the justice, O Lord? I want you to know that our God is not an unjust judge, but He punishes sin, absolutely. And how do I know for an absolute and assured heart in all of this that that is the case? Let me say yet again what I quoted earlier from the Scriptures. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the execution of the justice of God. Your and my punishment paid in the justice that we deserved, entirely served in the body of Christ hung on the tree and the wrath of God poured out. He accounts the just declaration that our sins have been punished to us. Christian, sleep tonight. your God is not angry at you, nor does he have a warrant out for your death. Jesus Christ has died for you, and all of that grace is given, declared to you by the Holy Spirit. But he is also a minister of grace. You see, the Holy Spirit works for us and in us to change us and redeem us, not only according to the law of God, but according to the flesh, to make us to be a people who more and more and more look like Jesus. John Calvin says in 4 points, how does he bestow these things on us and what does he bestow? He says this to describe what the Spirit gives to us, that we may be washed by the blood of Christ, that sin may be blotted out in us by his death. Number two. Number three, that our old man may be crucified. That's your sanctification, Christian. And four, that his resurrection may be effective in forming us again in the new birth. What is the Holy Spirit doing for you and I? He's applying all of the blood of the cross to wash our sins from us every day, graciously ministering to the souls of the saints, regularly taking us before the throne of grace, and always pouring out Jesus and all his benefits to us. And he is in us breathing spiritual life, the newness of life, the resurrection of Christ, that we ourselves might enjoy the whole of our Redeemer. Christians test the spirits. There is no true spirituality apart from Christianity. Amen. Test the spirits and know Christ. And look and pray that the Holy Spirit, the one who Christ promised, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Friend, would minister to you all of Christ in all of life, that you and I may be brought all the way home to the day of glory. Let's pray. Lord our God in heaven, we give praise to you, and O Lord, magnify your name together. You are our God and we are your people. O Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, we are the sheep of your pasture. Our Father, as we consider all of these things on this Lord's Day, we pray that you would give us understanding. That, Lord, we would test the spirits and that we would receive a true and a spiritual ministry that only comes from the Son as applied by the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We will sing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, hymn 57.